We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chris Harrington joins me now on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone line. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's People Got to Be Free by the Rascals. Lead singer Felix Cavaliere, born on this day in 1942. I wasn't able to hear the first hour of the show, but I gather from Twitter there's some discussion of Iran, and so sending that out to the freedom-seeking people of Iran.
Yeah. There was some discussion of Iran. It's an awkward position the Iranian athletes find themselves in, because they're either seen as a tool of a repressive government if they do nothing, or their family is being threatened by torture if they do anything to indicate support for the people in the streets. So to me, I'd have a hard time giving my all for the country if my family was being threatened by torture. But whatever, we shall see.
While given that this is the rare day we're discussing Iranian soccer on the show, can I make a quick movie recommendation?
Yes, please.
One of my very, very favorite sports movies, like easily, is a movie that's sort of about Iranian soccer. It's this movie called Offside. It's streaming on Criterion, which no one has. We can rent it for like $3 on Amazon. It's from the mid-2000s, and it's about a group of young women soccer fans trying to sneak into the stadium for a World Cup qualifying match in Tehran. And it is great.
Is it a purely fictional thing, or is it a documentary thing?
No, it's a fictional thing.
It's a narrative film. What?
It's a narrative film.
It's a narrative film. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is great. All right. Offside. That's great. Good to have it.
And the end of that movie will give you a sense of just the feel of young people in Iran and sort of, you know, that struggle. It really will.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. Offside is the movie. And you can buy it for a few bucks on Amazon. I've never heard of Criteria. What is Criteria? Another streaming service?
The Criterion Channel is a streaming service that's like a film buff-oriented streaming service.
You, by the way, are cramming films now, right? Aren't you on a film-watching spree because you have to vote in various contests and whatnot?
Yeah, it's my typical late November, early December thing. I am still a member of a film critics group, even though I haven't actually been a film critic in like 10 years. But somehow I'm still on the rolls. They still send me stuff, and so I watch it to vote. So I'll vote in some, you know, Southeastern film critics thing in a few weeks. But I really use it to even though we don't review movies and no one reviews movies anymore, I'll do a year in film list, you know, for the Daily Memphian.
All right.
In a few weeks.
In the last few weeks, what movies, what films have you seen?
Oh, I've seen, I don't know, more than half a dozen since Thanksgiving break. I'm trying to remember. I've seen The Banshees of Inisherin. I've seen Knives Out. I've seen Black Panther. And then on screeners, I've seen After Sun. I've seen The Inspection. I've seen Bros. I've seen Pearl. I can't remember.
All right, let's take the three that you've seen in theaters. Give us a brief thumbnail review of the three you've seen in theaters.
Well, I love The Banshees of Inisherin. That's definitely one of my favorite movies of the year. And that co-stars Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. It's the same writer-director who did a movie with the same actors about 10 years ago called In Bruges, which is sort of a cult favorite. Martin McDonagh, who's this Irish playwright who became a writer-director-filmmaker. He did the three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri, which I didn't much like, but I love Banshees of Inisherin, and it's almost sort of a fable or allegory Murphy sort of style film about just two men on this Irish island who were friends, and then one day they're not. It sort of goes from there. Love that. The Knives Out movie I liked. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but even the first one, oddly, I liked better when I saw it a second time, even though it was a whodunit.
Right.
I thought it was a good time in the movies. I would recommend it, but I didn't love it.
Was there any link to the first one other than?
It's the same writer director, but then in terms of within the movie, it's the same detective. It's right. This fictional detective character,
James Bond,
Benoit Blanc,
yeah.
Played by the Daniel Craig, who's like a Kentucky gentleman, thick surfy Southern accent kind of character, and so he's the only narrative.
But the whole rich family is okay. I see. There's none of the other actors are. It's no Jamie Lee Curtis or whatever.
It's the same detective with a different case, is what it is.
Did you go with other people, and did they like it?
Yeah, went with my wife and my son. My son really liked the first one, and they both liked it. They probably liked it a little better than I did. I mean, I tend to have a little bit more critical eye on things probably than most people. In terms of picking things apart. And then the Black Panther movie I thought was dull. My thing with the Black Panther movies is, like, it's called Wakanda Forever. I want it to be about Wakanda. Like, I literally want, like, the SimCity version of a Black Panther movie. I want to know, like, what bands are playing in the nightclubs in Wakanda. I want to know what's in the menus of the restaurants. Like, what's going on at the farmer's markets. Like, how's the park system. Like, I'm much more interested in, like, this fictional world than I am in, okay, it's time for a computer-generated, like, this fight. I just don't care. I'm bored generally with Marvel movies, but it was just more of that kind of stuff, which I just don't care about anymore.
It also just felt very much like a bridge to another set. It did not have much on its own merits.
These things are more like marketing enterprises, like interconnected marketing enterprises than movies at this point. I agree.
All right, so your column on the Grizzlies is up at the Daily Memphian, and I would urge people to read it. I have tweeted it out. We talked about much of this yesterday, sort of how promising you think it all is whenever they get their starting lineup healthy, if they get their starting lineup healthy. But you put some numbers to it. In terms of other starting lineups, when healthy in the West, who's good?
The weird thing is that Golden State starting lineup has been great, and they've had them on the floor for most of the season, and they're still like a 500 team because their bench has been so bad. The Clippers starting lineup has been great when they've had it, but they haven't had it very much, and the sample's so small that, like, I wouldn't pay much attention to the actual number attached to it. But yes, they're good when they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Denver's been good. Phoenix has been good. I really think you throw Memphis in, like, I know those are five teams. Like, one of those couldn't host a home court, so that's a big top tier. But I feel like that to me, those are the teams you're talking about. I'm not as much of a believer in New Orleans. But those teams have been good with their starting lineups. And the Grizzlies have not been good with their starting lineup because they haven't had their starting lineup.
Literally, there has been, you go through how many minutes together the starting lineups have played. The one that has played the most is, in fact, Golden State, 248 minutes.
It's Minnesota.
Oh, is it? No, Minnesota's. Oh, yeah, Minnesota's 260. Golden State is 248. So, although Minnesota won't be anymore because Karl Anthony Towns went down with an injury.
These are numbers as of Monday morning.
Right.
So, like, it changes every day.
Right. But Minnesota was one. Golden State was two, and downward from there, Kings 3, Denver 4, etc. And the Grizzlies have not played a single minute of the starting lineup together. Clippers only 32 of the starting lineup together. Clippers, a point differential per 100 possessions, when they have been healthy, plus 49.2. That is fabulous, right? I mean, that's staggeringly
great. Yeah, but it's 32 minutes. That's not a sustainable number, but so that would come down if they played more, but it would still be good. Like, I don't think it's a mystery that when you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for three good players, you're gonna be really good.
All right, we did see this five last year, though, right? The Grizzlies starters did play some minutes together last year.
Not a lot, actually, but yeah, about 110 in the regular season.
And is that so? Last season, 109 regular season minutes, according to your piece, and they outscored opponents by 24.9 points per 100 possessions. That would put them behind Golden State and behind Phoenix and behind the Clippers. but next. Is that?
Yeah, but yeah. Again, I mean, that Clippers number, I don't.
Right, is real. That's not real.
That's not a real number.
Right.
But my point is not that the Grizzlies starting lineup is the best.
Right. It's
that the Grizzlies
really
starting
good.
Lineup is I think it's top tier in the conference.
Yeah.
And then sort of like how likely are you to have it? Even though the Grizzlies are at zero, I think they are more likely to have it going forward than Phoenix is, and then the Clippers are.
And maybe even the Golden State, given the age.
Yeah.
Literally, if you just
right.
look at the age issues, yeah.
And honestly, Denver, there's more. I mean, you know, Morant tends to miss games, and Dylan Brooks has had lots of injuries over the years, and so is Jaren Jackson. But if you're making a list of injury concern among players of Memphis and players of Denver, like Michael Porter Jr. is number one on that list.
Right. So you have, yes, the upper tier being the Grizzlies, the Warriors, the Suns, the Clippers, and the Nuggets. Would be your upper tier. One of the weird things is, though, this won't come into play for a while, but at some point, some of these quote-unquote upper-tier teams may well be fifth or sixth in the final standings. And so you could meet one of them in the first round, depending. I mean, it's so jumbled this year, and there's going to be oftentimes if you're, you know, third, you're guaranteed a better opponent, or a second, a better opponent than if you're fourth. And it doesn't feel like that necessarily. It feels like there will be a certain amount of randomness to it this year. Or is there?
Yeah, I agree. I that's why I had a note in the column that I'm really talking about like regular season here.
Right.
Because when you get into the playoffs, I think being first or being second, you know, in the regular season is not going to mean as much as it normally would.
Right.
And part of that's because the real juggernauts are in the East. But part of that is that I think matchup specifics in terms of who you're playing and then that the injury issues are going to be more prominent in the playoffs than who has home court advantage in series.
All right. So you, the piece goes through, and I let people read it themselves, about why the starting lineup is so promising. And then you get to the bench. They have gone from sixth in bench points off the bench, to 15th in points off the bench. And a lot of that is because, and I'm giving away some of your numbers here, Roddy and LaRavia are 10th and 13th in rookie minutes. And there's only one other player in the top 13 in rookie minutes who's on a playoff team from last year. That's pretty remarkable, really. Who's that player?
Christian Coloco, who's like
from
a backup
Toronto.
Center for Toronto.
Yeah.
I think a high second round pick. And yeah, the bench scoring is down. That was easier to illustrate because that's an easy number.
Right.
The bigger issue is on defense. They're getting destroyed in Roddy's minutes defensively. Honestly, they're getting destroyed in Tyus Jones' minutes defensively. I think with the Jones thing in particular, a lot of that's contextual into the lineups. It has to do with Roddy and LaRavia to some degree. But I just think, you know, one, the Grizzlies, and this is hard for some people to comprehend, I know, the Grizzlies have a better chance of having their starting lineup intact than some of these other teams, and it's as good of a chance as anybody going forward, right? You never know, but
right.
There's no reason. This is past performance, future results. But the other thing is that the bench has been a big drag, and I think there are fixes available. I mean, they could just stop playing David Roddy, honestly, not to pick on him, but like his minutes have been such a drag that it's easy to just take that out. And so I think one way or another, their bench is going to be a lot better going forward than it's been so far.
Right, and the simple fix is, the easiest fix is to stop.
Zaire Williams starts playing.
Yeah, right, Zaire Williams starts playing, but also John Conchar and Santi Aldama become bench players as opposed to starters, and then your bench is better. And then
right.
Zaire Williams starts playing, and then your bench is better. And then you don't play David Roddy. Given all that, then you don't play David Roddy. No offense to David Roddy, who may become a decent player, but is not right now. On Tyus's defense, it's been notably bad, and it was, what was it,
well,
good
well,
last
the,
year? Like what?
The numbers, it's hard. You have to separate like individual player stuff and lineup stuff. And when I'm saying they've been bad in Jones'
right.
minutes, that's not saying Jones has been bad. It's
right.
saying the Grizzlies have been bad in his minutes. So lineups that he's been in have been terrible defensively. I don't think he's a particularly good defender. But I think part of that is he's played a lot of minutes with these rookies. And part of that is also he's played a lot of minutes with Morant. And they played a lot of minutes together in part because of the Bane injury, the Brooks
right.
injury, the Zaire Williams injury. And those lineups have really suffered defensively. I think the numbers with him looked better in the past, in part because he was playing more minutes with De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. And it's more of a lineup thing than an individual thing.
The other point that you made was that, and I thought this was really interesting, last year there were a lot of people who wondered how good the Grizzlies would be as a playoff team because so much of their regular success seemed generated by the bench. And in the playoffs, the bench is less important. It's just they play fewer minutes. And now you may be looking at the flip side of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're becoming a little bit more of a conventional team. And that, I mean, this is the story with Phoenix and the story of Golden State and the story of some of these, Denver, these other teams where, like, they're good because of their starters and they have depth issues. And that's sort of a natural thing that happens as you start paying guys. So I think the Grizzlies have unnecessarily accelerated that. Like, they did not. Some people think, well, you had to trade Melton because you can't pay everybody. That's not true on De'Anthony Melton. He was under contract for $8 million this year and next. And next year wasn't even fully guaranteed. Like, there was not a financial motivation or financial necessity to make that move. And so in some ways, like, they sort of created this problem prematurely a little bit. But it is sort of a more normal roster makeup of a contending team. Most contending teams aren't playing like 10 deep all the time and, you know, aren't thriving on their bench for the most part.
Chris, thanks very much. People can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
It's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.